Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, titled, All His Adversaries Were Ashamed. This is Pastor Greg, and I invite you to stick around and learn the Bible the way God wrote it and intended we study it, verse by verse through books. And as you listen, you may have a question, comment, or even a prayer request that you'd like to send to us. You can email those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send any letters along with any check or money orders to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us and donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now our study in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, titled, All His Adversaries Were Ashamed. This is part one of two.
Current events update. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, Columbus is in the top 10 cities.
Yes. For murder.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. This is the reports that they are all over the place yesterday after the ranking came out. This capital city is on pace to have more murders this year than ever before. And I thought we set the record last year.
No.
So
it was 175 last year.
So far this year, over 160 people have been murdered in the city. The year total was 176 for all of 2020. So this is one record we don't like to hold, but it just reminds you, you should say a word when you pray. Pray for your city. Pray for, pray for the cops. Most of them are good men and women, and they're doing their jobs. But pray for all the innocent people out there getting caught in the crossfire, stray bullets. And there's something like 20 gangs, small and large, working in the city now, they say. And it's just a sad state. But this is the truth. A Christ-rejecting culture breeds death. Most of the murders are among people who have totally rejected Jesus Christ, are living on drugs and all that. But just the culture at large, why do we have so many abortions? And why do we have so many murders across the country? The more this country turns from Christ, the higher the murder rate's going to go. Number two, the tyrannical vaccine mandate battle continues. But thanks to Texas Governor Abbott, he's banned all vaccine mandates in the state of Texas. Now, there's going to be a battle over that. The federal, anybody under the thumb of the federal government is going to be trying to fire you if you don't get the vaccine. It'll play out in the courts, but it's good to see some people standing up for the freedom that is still left in this country to tell my government that you will not inject things into me if I don't want them injected into me. And I don't care if I've gotten the vaccine or if I'm even pro-vaccine, I'm anti-tyranny. And that's the point. And at this point, that federal mandate isn't even a law. It's not even on the books. It's all, they're freaking people out and getting people in line, even though it's not even on the books yet. And so Republican attorney generals vow to sue over federal vaccine mandate when it's officially on the books. So when, if it goes on the books, then you got some attorney generals lined up to fight the mandate. Some of you see the Easter egg I put in there. deliverance. Anyway, we need more governors like DeSantis, not because he's Republican. I don't care if he's Democrat, independent, libertarian, whatever. I just want a governor who's going to say, you know what? We will not be forcing you to do anything against your will that is not in the Constitution itself.
Right.
And that's the problem. DeSantis backs a law banning vaccine-related firings after a Florida county was fined $3.5 million. And then he also floated a Florida law like the one in Texas against vaccine-related firings. And so pray for that governor, pray for our governor, and we have support. You can call or write letters or emails for House Bill 248 that is stalled, that is all about protecting your rights. It's called the Enact Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act. House Bill 248. You go to the Ohio Legislature website, find your state senator and state congressman, put it by putting in your address, and you send them an email and simply tell them, "Dear sir or madam, please support House Bill 248. That's all you have to say. It's in numbers. They need to see numbers of people contacting them in support of this bill. And so if I can get some more specific information, otherwise that's all I can tell you to do. Go to that website. It's the Ohio Legislature website. And just do a search online at Ohio Legislature and go to that website, and they have a thing there where you can find your state senator and state congressman, and then you send them messages supporting House Bill 248. And number three, there are still some men of conviction in this country. North Carolina's lieutenant governor rejects calls to resign after calling transgenderism homosexuality filth. I thought it was kind of peculiar they didn't show his face because he is a black man. So it makes you wonder if they're trying to hide that.
No.
In a speech at Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove in June, Robinson argued against the distribution of sexually explicit content in public schools.
Good.
He said there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth.
Amen.
He told the church at that time. And yes, I called it filth, he contended. And if you don't like it that I called it filth, come see me and I'll explain it to you.
Amen.
That goes for me. Anybody out there, I've had them contact me and call me a homophobic bigot. I'm not afraid of you. I don't have a phobia. I'll tell you, if I have a phobia, it's godophobia. I fear the Lord. And God says that your transgenderism is an abomination. That your homosexuality is an abomination. And if you need me to sit down and read it to you, and yes, I'll read New Testament. And a lot of people out there who don't really care who think that it's just the Old Testament. Well, even if it were, it's God's Word. But it's clearly in the New Testament numerous places as well.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't talk about it. Yes, he did when he condemned fornication. That includes every form of sex outside of the God-ordained version. Between one man and one woman in marriage. So that's that. All right. Luke 13. through 17, and we're going to try to get through this without setting anything on fire, a wind blowing the roof off, or anything like that. All his adversaries were ashamed. Now, this is the third of four events in this chapter before Jesus turns toward Jerusalem to go to the cross. And it's going to, like I said, it's going to be a while because there's a number of chapters. He crammed a lot of what he did into the chapters between here and the cross. But you remember John ended his gospel by saying that if we wrote down everything Jesus said or did, there wasn't enough books in the world to hold it all.
Amen.
So we still only scratched the surface of the life of Christ. There's so much wonderful things I'm sure we could be told. But we're going to go ahead and read verses 10 through 17. I'll have you join me on the odd verses. I'll begin reading in verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity."
and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
And all the devils, be quiet. Verse 10. I wasn't pointing anybody in here. I was just a statement. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We don't think of Jesus in these terms, but I love to think of Jesus just standing up there like I am now and teaching. Only what you get from him, you don't have to check your Bible.
Amen.
Everything you hear from me, you should be checking your Bible to search the scriptures to see if what you're being told is true.
Amen.
You didn't have to do that with Jesus. He is the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Sabbath was given to Israel and Israel alone. We know some people today who pretend to keep the Sabbath. They don't. None of them keep it the way it was intended. And it was given to Israel and Israel alone. And real quickly, I just want to look scripture with scripture. There's never a commandment for anyone other than Israel to observe Sabbath. You search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, nobody was told to keep Sabbath except Israel, and only when under the Mosaic Covenant. And they don't have a Mosaic Covenant even now.
Yep.
You don't have a Mosaic Covenant without a temple. That's what the Antichrist is going to pretend to confirm for 7 years when he comes. And they're going to have a temple built over there. But it'll be a blasphemous abomination in the eyes of God. Go back to Exodus 16 real quick. Let's look at this. Exodus 16. And if you look in most mainline denominations and their statement of faith, you will see that they claim to keep the Sabbath on Sunday. And there's nothing biblical about that. The Bible never calls our Sunday worship Sabbath. Exodus 16, 29 through 30 tells us who the Sabbath was given to. It says, go ahead and read verse 29, 30 with me. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Now hold on there. Who did he give it to? Who's you?
Israel.
He's talking to Israel, who he's given the Mosaic Covenant to right now. He says, see, read again. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So this was while he was giving them the instructions for manna. And he gave them the Sabbath. He gave it to Israel. And you will not find a single instance of the church being told to keep the Sabbath. Not once. Now, can you imagine? There's whole denominations built on the idea of Saturday Sabbath, based on there being, and they can't find a single verse in the New Testament where it tells them to do so. Rick?
I've always heard from different preachers that the nine commandments Jesus reiterated were the ones to keep it. The Sabbath was never.
That's right. Yeah, and I'll add one more to that thought in just a minute. But that's exactly right. So when repeating the laws to the church, Paul, read the epistles of Paul. He leaves out the Sabbath. That's why we tell you to read through your Bible every year. You'll see this stuff. You read through the Bible every year. Look over at Romans 13. Romans 13 begins with the most oft-quoted passage in that chapter about the government. And it's taken out of context and abused a lot of times. But in Romans 13, beginning of verse 8, he puts it in context. He says in verse 8, well, your turn there, I'll read that. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled what?
The law.
Okay? Then he starts listing those commandments. He's going to list the ones that you are to keep. Now, the first commandments, first three commandments in Scripture were all about just God. Then the Sabbath was the fourth, and then the last five were all thou shalt nots. But all those last six commandments are things for you to do. Now, look what Paul, he brings up the law, the last two words, puts it in context. Read verse 9 with me. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then he goes on to again put it in context. Read verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the what? See? Where's Sabbath? Did you see the Sabbath in there?
No.
It's not in there. Go home this week and read all, from Romans all the way to, well, if you want to, Revelation, but read all of Paul's epistles, which includes Hebrews. Go all the way from Romans to Hebrews and read those epistles. Even in Hebrews, a book written to Hebrews, he only mentions the Sabbath in the sense that Jesus has fulfilled it. He never tells the Hebrews anything about a commandment to keep the Sabbath as believers in Jesus Christ. He only uses the Sabbath as a lesson. And you'll never find in the rest of his epistles that are written to churches and Christians, never once does he tell anybody to keep Sabbath. Yeah, John?
In Ezekiel 20:12. It says, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them.
And who's them? That's right. Now, we have a whole message, and I don't have the time or interest to go into great detail, but that passage is one of a number that we have online. You go look up our message on the Sabbath, and we spell it out, and every time someone writes and tries to convert me to Sabbatarianism, I just send them the link to that message, because we're going to go by the Bible.
Amen.
Statements of faith are fallible. Every statement of faith by every denomination has errors in it.
Amen.
That's why we don't study statements of faith. We study what?
The Bible.
The Bible. The importance of Sabbath to the Jews cannot be overstated. And so you have to have that frame of mind as you're reading this, how important the Sabbath was. And so we go with that background. We can see as we continue in beginning of verse 11. I'm going to read through 13 again. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together. She was crippled over and could in no wise lift up herself. Now, Jenny had to sneak off to help me with something that I didn't do earlier. Reminds me of that cartoon. This ain't my day. But actually, with all these quirks and everything, I'm still having fun. But this poor lady, when I read this, I just about a month or about 3 weeks ago, my Jenny was walking around the house like this. And she would sit down on the couch and hurt. And so she would put her arm up like this and sit there like this and watch TV. How many of you have blown a disc when you're in your back? Anybody? I get asked, blown an what, Achilles? You know, you may not have been crippled over like that, but you know what it means to be in pain. And I just said, yeah, look, you know, you're going to be okay. Yeah, we're going to pray for you. I went in the other room. And, I got emotional one day. Oh, sorry. And I just prayed. I said, oh, give that to me. I don't want to see her like that.
Amen.
But the Lord is so gracious.
Yes, He is.
Now I can't make her sit down. She's back at it. And, you know, you imagine the people who knew. I'll speak of the angel. But... You imagine the people who knew this woman personally and her bowed together, could in no wise lift up herself. I don't even have to know people when I see them like that. My heart just breaks. I remember as a little boy, it was Christmas time, and we were walking into what used to be called Hex. How many of you remember Hex? You're like, heck no, I don't remember that. You remember Hearts? Hex and Hearts was right next. We were going in there, and I got so excited at Christmas time. They'd have it all decorated, and they have Santa Claus out there ringing the bell for Salvation Army and all that. And I was a little kid, and I was just so excited. But then I look over, and there's this man, and he's sitting on a cart with wheels, and he has no legs. I'd never seen that before. I was only probably 6 or 7 years old. I was shocked. I totally forgot about Christmas and all the decorations and even the toys and everything. I started walking through the little store, and I remember asking my mom or dad, how did he lose his legs? And they explained that I think they knew he was, that was something from a Vietnam vet from the war. And it was just one of the first moments where I realized what kind of world we live in. All the hurt, and people out there that don't have the, childhood that I had, Rockwell, is that his name? Norman Rockwell. You know, I know his name, I just can't think of it. Norman Rockwell. And, that was my childhood. I started to realize that's the kind of world we live in. Jesus, when he was here, he'll heal a lot of people, but he didn't heal everybody. And since then, he hasn't healed everybody. Our world is a fallen world. We still have sin in this world. But let me tell you something. There's coming a day. Amen. And he gives us a taste of it so we'll know he's the one. And it says, when he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. All these TV preachers that are claiming to be healers, do not send them your money. They're fakes. Amen. If they were real, they'd be down at Children's Hospital today. They don't go to the hospitals. Jesus went to the sick. He didn't hold rallies and take up offerings. And that's the real healer right there. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. She is healed.
Amen.
Time to rejoice, right?
Yeah. Of course.
If your heart's right. See verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Shut up. You know what? If that man was the one bent over, if it was his wife or his daughter or his mother, he would have been rejoicing.
Yeah.
You want to be wrong with God? Forget what you really are. Forget that you're a sinner who deserves to be in hell. Forget that there's no reason you shouldn't have been born blind or lame. Forget that there's no reason you couldn't have been smashed on the highway like that guy who now can't walk. Brother Charlie Wednesday gave us a praise report of God's protection of him out on the interstate. And I was telling him, they drove through Cincinnati coming this way from the Ark. When we were going that way through Cincinnati to the Ark, we about got blown over by a tractor trailer. And if I hadn't hit my brakes, I might not be here right now. Well, what happened? I believe there's times God intervenes. I don't believe in the guardian angel thing the way it's sold by Hollywood and all that, but I believe in angels.
Amen.
And I think one of the neatest things about Judgment Day, we stand before the Lord, is for him to tell us all the times where an angel stood in.
Amen.
And so in this case, this lady, she's going right to the top. And she is healed by Jesus. And anybody right with God would be saying, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing.
No, he's going to bring up technicalities. Sanctimonious, self-righteous, and self-centered. This is what you get from the people when it's all about me. What about me and my needs, says our dog, Cammy. But you know, dogs are supposed to think like that. You're not a dog. You're supposed to be a saint. We're all saints in Christ. We're to be God's children. But the world is full of such people, amen? Now, I'm going to say, oh me, I've been there. I've been that guy on occasion. Churches are full of such people, by the way. We're not just talking about the big bad world out there. As a matter of fact, I've seen more in the church than about there. And it's funny, you know, the church will be wanting to do something really important and everything, and then you have this guy stands up and, well, according to Robert's Rules of Order, you know, and then the business meeting blows up and people are yelling at each other and the guy goes...